The Lord is so good. Good to see all of you. Truly God is an awesome God. And let me just open up in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We pray for every family represented here today. Pray for our church. Pray for our nation. We pray, oh God, for the horrific shooting that took place in Florida. We pray for healing. We pray, Lord God, that you would meet us in your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Praise the name. Now, let me, I want to move to get to some teaching tonight. I want to thank all of you that came out Monday. Thank you. We had a great meeting. Praise God for you. And we had great results. Sunday is our communion, Lord's celebration of our Lord's Supper, and we're just, again, thanking God from whom all blessings flow. Let me make a statement.
Can you help me find my wife?
Your wife?
Is she in here somewhere?
She is?
Oh, okay.
You found her?
Yeah.
hey, listen, it's an easier way. Just stop paying the bills. She'll show up. You know, she'll show up. Praise the Lord. She'll show up. You gotta love it, boy. You gotta love it. Yeah. Oh, she wasn't back there. All right, brother. That was legit. Praise Jesus. Tonight we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I really want to address something, and I'm going to be addressing it as we go along. There are several movements of doctrine, false doctrine, that Satan is circulating, and a lot of people falling into his trap. It's heretical. And we will, as a church, address it and be dealing with it, because doctrine is like the grass sheep eat. And if you eat false doctrine, you'll get sick and you will stray. Amen? So we're going to be talking about those things momentarily. But I'm very thankful to the Lord for our church, for you. God is an awesome God. Now, my introduction tonight is that we learn through our educational systems that we move from preliminaries to practicality, that all of our schooling was designed to teach in progressions. By the time you get to college, you got freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior, and if you're a freshman, they won't let you take senior courses because you have not had the preliminaries. You cannot do algebra until you've had the rudiments of arithmetic, and then you cannot do trigonometry until you get geometry, because you're dealing with angles, and then you can't do trigonometry unless you had geometry, algebra, and simple math. They all go together. There's a buildup, and then you can't do calculus unless you had all of that. So the thing is that as we learn the Word of God, one of the Pauline epistles, Paul specialized in teaching doctrine before duty. Doctrine before duty. Doctrine before duty. There's a major reason for that, because the doctrine, amen, allows us to live out the duty. When we understand what God is saying, when we understand that we need the Holy Spirit to help develop us and disciple us and so forth and so on. And even in our discipleship classes, we have discipleship 100, 200, 300 for a reason. They are progressive. Bible students are taught that there is what we call inductive reasoning and deductive reasoning. One deals from the small parts up to the whole. The other goes from the whole back down to the small parts. Hermeneutically, as we learn the Word of God, it becomes imperative for us to understand the makeup of the Scriptures and to actually see that progression take place. The problem with people in the Word is that they have not been taught exegesis, they've been taught eisegesis. They pull Scripture out of context. So I'll pull Scripture out of context, and if I do that, I can pretty much justify anything. I can justify anything I want to justify. If I take Scripture out of its original context, I can live like a dog and give you Scripture for it. So one of the things that we have to try to understand is the makeup of the Word of God. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to look at the book of Ephesians, one of the prison epistles Paul wrote while in prison. It's a Pauline epistle. He does the same thing in Romans. In the first 11 chapters of Romans, he lays out the doctrine on righteousness. And then when he gets to chapter 12, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and the mercies go back to the first 11 chapters, to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable, in the Greek, worship. So chapter 12 to 15 is duty. After teaching all of this doctrine, now he deals with the duty. If you learn out of sequence, and this is a major point, your spiritual growth will not develop properly. You've got to learn in sequences, and that's why I'm critical about teachers and preachers, because we just can't come in here and pull something up, and our studying ought to be in some logical order of progression, and that's when people grow. Okay, so one of the things I'm gonna look at tonight, and is in Ephesians, Paul in laying out his doctrine chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and then we have chapters 4 through 6. This becomes the duties, while these are the doctrines. So what Paul begins to do in this sequence is Paul wants us to begin with the wisdom of God, the will of God. Okay, wisdom, will, this is the work of God. This is the, I'll get to it. This is the walk of God. Chapter 5 is the warmth of God. That's on relationships. Chapter 6 is the warfare of God. You dare not go into warfare if you have not been taught wisdom and will. Because one of the things that will happen is that when we look at this wisdom and will of God, it helps me in my walk once I understand what's going on. And of course, the work in chapter 2. And so when you get to chapter 4 about the walk, it says that we ought to be walking in unity. Now, I cannot walk in unity if I'm full of hell. Excuse my expression. I cannot walk in unity if I'm divisive. I cannot walk in unity if I'm
always complaining. I cannot walk in unity if I'm negative and dysfunction. And see, when he talks about walking in unity, chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, then he says walk in purity, 17 to 5, 18, and then walk in harmony, and then walk in victory. These become very, very difficult because we have not stopped off at this first progression of God's wisdom, the need for God's wisdom. And this wisdom of God, and I'm elaborate on this, is not just a know-how. It's the fact that we walk away believing fully that God is in total control. And that what God does is his business, how he handles it, he's sovereign. He's all wise. We are not all wise. I know we think we are. We're not all wise. And this matter of God's wisdom is where I kind of want to pick up momentarily before we move on. And I had to learn in my Christian life that everybody's concerned about your walk, but nobody spends time on his wisdom and will. The wisdom and will feeds into the walk. We are hearing about and experiencing, and I'll address it, doctrinal departures from the faith. Doctrinal departures from the faith. People looking for their roots. Bible ain't got nothing to do with your roots. And it is, the Bible is sovereignly in okonomas, which are stewardships, by God. I'm a dispensationalist. What does dispensationalist mean? God deals through dispensations. What he did with Adam and Eve, he's not doing with us. Are y'all getting this? Everything's for our information, but not our participation. So when you look at the Bible as a whole, deductively, when you look at the Bible as a whole, inductively, when you look at the Bible as a whole, hermeneutically, science of interpretation, you got to be able to see, amen, from Genesis to Revelation, the objective of the Holy Spirit. Do I have a witness? All right, let me move on. So we start pulling scripture out of context, and we start quoting scripture, and all scriptures for our information. Now, all scripture is applicable by faith for us to pull up, but you can't pull it up out of context and claim something that was meant for somebody else. You got the Abrahamic covenant, you got a Davidic covenant, you got the Palestinian covenant, and there are 8 covenants in the Bible. So when you pull up a book, God was specifically talking to a certain group of people and gave them certain promises for that time. All right? And that's one of the problems I got with these promise books. Promise books are great, but they don't break it down as to what promises are available to you in this church age, Acts 2 to Revelation 4. Are y'all getting this? All right, you'll get it. When I was in Bible college in the 70s, I could not take Daniel Revelation. That's a senior's course, because it's prophecy. You will not pass prophecy if you have not had the Gospels. If you have not the minor stuff, you will never be able to interpret the major stuff. And Revelation and Daniel go hand in glove. So one of the things I'm saying is that when we begin to look at this matter of wisdom, that I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to pull out 2 scriptures real quick. Are you in Ephesians 1? You sure? All right, here we go. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 8, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. So Paul begins to home in on this word, Sophia, which is the wisdom of God. And this word wisdom has to do with two two major functions that God's mind had something to do with the makeup of everything. The mind of God. Now, if you and I are not resting in the mind of God, we got problems when we try to walk this thing. Are y'all getting this? Job, in Job's life, Job went through pure unadulterated fire, and then he got weak and started speaking out. And in chapter 38, God said, who is this without knowledge that would dare challenge me? Where were you? And after the conversation, Job said, I had heard about him with the hearing ear, but now my eyes have seen him. There was a whole, and I don't know if you know this, God told Job at the end of the book, if I'm going to restore everything you lost, you got to forgive your three friends. The onus is on you to forgive before I bless you. You don't forgive them, I'm not blessing you. They were wrong, Eliphaz, Zophaz, they were wrong, Zophar, they were wrong, but you got to let them go. All right, so one of the things that I want to do tonight is look at this matter of the wisdom, Sophia, Greek word, of God. And this word wisdom has to do with God's insights that you and I don't have. Now, I know we know the Lord so good that we this wisdom is a revealing, it's a revelation, it's when God opens up understanding and eyes. I'm taking it slow for a reason. Luke 24, don't turn. Jesus, post-resurrection, he comes up from the grave. He walks with two disciples, not his disciples, on the road to Emmaus, and apparently he must have had something on his head. They didn't recognize who he was. And the Bible says they walked, and while they walked, he talked with them. He said, in essence, like, what's going on? And they said, and they rebuked Jesus. What do you mean, what's going on? Where you been? Who are you? They didn't recognize him, and they start telling Jesus everything that happened. And at the end of the walk, the Bible says in Luke 24, he opened up their eyes. God's got to open up your eyes before you get his wisdom. You're not that smart. I'm not that smart. He got to open up your eyes. If the Lord never opened up my eyes, I would be in hell tonight. He opened up our eyes by grace. Love we don't deserve. He opened up our eyes. And then the Bible says he opened up their understanding. He opened up their hearts. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us by the way? And as you read the end of Luke 24, he did all of these openings, and the Bible says, and they worshiped him. Because he did the, so let's metaphorically look at that. God's got to open up eyes to everything, everything relative to our lives. He's got to let us know that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The way you would do it, I ain't doing it that way. Are y'all getting this? It is a revelatory thing where God is opening up our eyes. And God does not give us explanation for everything he does. We'll understand it better by and by. That's not heaven, that's down the line. We'll understand it better by and by. We may not understand it now. So this spirit of wisdom, Sophia, has to do with God opening up what's closed. You hear them old folk who are close to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but God, if you would just give me wisdom. And the Bible says in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now stop, because see, we ain't been taught this. Even wisdom, why are you going through what you're going through? Lord, why am I going through all this? What's going on? But let him ask in faith, right? Lest you deceive yourselves. So
God is saying, I'm open to answer you, but you got to come in faith. There's things that happen in my life I don't even have a reason for. I don't know why. And Satan's always ready to tamper with what we don't understand. Lord, I've given you my life, period. I'm trying to run for you. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to teach right. I'm trying to have honesty and character and integrity. What the heck is going on? And these devils look like they're getting blessed more. And David struggled with that, didn't he? Psalm 73 said, I was messed up till I went in the house of the God and heard therein. You ain't getting that. I heard therein. God gonna wipe them out. So we need wisdom, and wisdom does not denote that he's gonna tell you everything about everything. He'll give you a wisdom to hopefully bring a peace as you're going through. He may just be saying, trust me. Wait, hold on. All right, so Paul talks about the wisdom, and the wisdom leads to the will. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery. Now, mysterion is the Greek word for mystery. It's something that was previously closed up. Now it's revealed. I get these people who go in the Old Testament and try to tell you the Old Testament has nothing to do with the New Testament. God, Jesus came through 42 burden generations, wrapped himself in flesh, came in the makeshift delivery room. Listen, search the scriptures, they speak of me. In other words, Israel was Jesus' vehicle all along. And when you really become a deep Bible student, you understand that everything happening in the Old Testament was to prepare the world for Jesus. It was to prepare the world for Jesus. So there are five offerings in Leviticus. You gotta bring an offering of blood. You gotta bring a bullock. You gotta bring a lamb. You know, you got five offerings, and you got meal offerings. You got all of these liturgical type things. You got all these days that they observed, and all these diets they observed, and all of that was nothing more than to teach his people a system unlike the world and lead them towards Christ. When Jesus was born, all that stuff died. Moses brought the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So when you go into Deuteronomy like these nuts are doing, try not to cuss, but they're getting on my nerves. What you don't understand, the law is dead. The law is dead. All you got to do is read Hebrews 1. God at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke to us by the fathers in many ways, many facets. But in these last days, the last days started at the cross. He has spoken to us by Jesus Christ. Are y'all getting this? God ain't speaking to us out of no Old Testament. I had a Jewish man approach me one time. He didn't know I was a Bible student. He knew I was a Christian. So here you go. He said, well, I'm a Jew. We don't believe that. I said, well, what do you believe? He said, well, let's go back to the Torah. I said, let's go. And we got back to the Torah, and I said, so let me ask you a question. Because he said, I don't believe in Jesus. I said, good, okay, fine. Let's go back to the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. When's the last time you've been to Jerusalem with a lamb and you shed blood? We don't do that no more. I said, oh, that's not what the Bible says. There's three times a year, everybody 12 years old and over, male, got to be in Jerusalem. Pentecost, Passover, you know, tabernacles. So, and you don't worship, you don't slay lambs anymore? No, we don't do that anymore. I said, well, how do you take care of your sin problem? He got quiet and looked at me. Then I politely said, you're going to hell.
Jesus is the sin bearer.
Amen.
Can I get a witness? And so the fact of the matter is, once you reject Christ, you done rejected everything. You're a heretic. And I'll be saying this. See, there's a need in some of us to come up with something new. There's a need for attention and applause and appreciation. When I see people like that, I pray. They got major problems. Martin Luther was here in the 1500s. He nailed 93 theses on the door, you know, on the Catholic door, and said, "The just shall live by faith." Who are you to come in 2018 and change it? And so, this wisdom, what I do every week when I'm preaching, I spend hours on the information of the Bible, putting it together in prayer, but probably 12 hours before I preach, I'm asking God to reduce it, keep it simple, stupid. Because I want to be understood by a seven-year-old. Are y'all getting this? So I want to reduce things so people can follow you, because that's the objective of preaching. Not to be calling long words out, you don't know what it means. Hypostatic union. You know what I mean? You know, people get the pulpit, hypostatic union. Well, what is hypostatic union? You know, you didn't say that when you ordered that drink over that bar. And so we have a need to be important. Yeah, I'm going to say it. We got that need, Doc. We got that need. Now, he moves from this wisdom into his will. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Don't miss that. God said, I purposed in myself my will. Now, two things. There's the irresistible will and there's the individual will. Thelema, bolema. One, you and I ain't got nothing to do with. That's what God wants. That's purpose driven. That's what God wants. The other may include your life. So he deals with this matter of his will. See, and listen. All that stuff in the Bible is funny because palm readers, necromancy, astrologers, all of that is an alternative to the word. Are y'all listening to the pastor? It's an alternative to the word. Well, let me see how many lines you got in your hand. Line this. Let me read your palm. Let me do this. Let me do that. It's foolishness, because it's not faith, it's flesh. It's people trying to tap in. I mean, I came here 30 years, I'm going on 31 years now, and somebody called me and said, you got a trustee that's having seances over his house. I said, well, you didn't invite me. So I had to deal with people who actually believe in seances. You get in a dark room and got candles and you're trying to call back the dead. Don't call back the dead, you better watch the living. The dead ain't never hurt nobody. You're trying to call people, you know, Eimi, Ipsilini, the spirit's about to be, you know, all that mess. And see, the problem is, here's what we don't understand. When I go back to 1 Samuel, Samuel was one of the best prophets, the greatest prophets of God. Samuel got old and he died. So Saul disguised himself and went to the witch at Endor and said, pull me up Samuel. And she said, I know who you are, you're the king and I'll get killed. Da 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 da. He said, no you won't, I mean. And she, Samuel came up to the dead. Why do you bother me? Leave me alone, I was asleep. Anyway, and there's some people alive that I need to see. I'm asleep. Leave me alone. So
So when you get to this matter, look at verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in what? Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So we move from the wisdom to the will of Almighty God. Now I don't have time tonight. Can you interrupt that and put the seven dispensations up real quick?
Can you do that? Brian's brilliant. There you go. The dispensation of praise is wrong. That's my fault. It's the dispensation of promise. The dispensation of innocent is Genesis 1:2.
Adam and Eve was naked in the garden, and they were not ashamed. You know why we become ashamed when we get naked? Sin nature. At least some of y'all are ashamed. Some of y'all ain't got no sense. But
they were living in innocence. There was no sin. Chapters 1 and 2, and then chapter 3, when Satan made Adam and Eve fall, they came under conscience. This is why, don't let your conscience be your guide. Your conscience is messed up. All right? And then, Genesis 9, God wanted to curb sin, so he created government. Family is it. Look, the three institutions God made, family, Genesis 2, government, Genesis 9, and God brought about capital punishment. They kill them. God did that to curb sin. Remember them old Humphrey Bogart pictures where they walking towards the chair? I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Remember that? And so capital punishment is biblical. It's just that we got faulty systems of legalism and legalities where they putting the wrong person in jail. So the problem is God created government, and then God created promise, not praise, promise. Genesis 12, Abraham, promise precedes law, meaning that promise was here before law got here. Faith, living by faith. All right, move up, next one. The dispensation of the law, Exodus 20, and then the law goes all the way into Acts chapter 2. When Jesus was walking the earth, he was still under law. I studied something one time and it blew me away. When Jesus resurrected, in Acts chapter 1, when he got on his cloud and went back to glory, and the angel turned around and asked the disciples, why are y'all standing here gazing? This same Jesus is coming back in like manner. What blew my mind when I studied is that under law, you could only walk so many feet on a Sabbath without breaking the law. I think it was 3,300 and something feet. If you took another step, you broke the law. In Acts 1, which they're still under law, Jesus took the exact amount of steps before he went up, because he fulfilled the law. He didn't break it. Are y'all getting this? So that's great. Great. We live in the grace age. Acts 2 to Revelation 4. What is grace? Gospel of grace. Ain't got nothing to do with Old Testament. Gospel of grace. Jesus is the sin bearer. Once I receive him into my life, believe me, died for my sins, buried, and rose again, I'm saved. All right. Gospel of grace. The tribulation begins in Revelation 6 to 19. Now the Jews gonna wake up then, or the remnant, and realize that Jesus is the Messiah. And that's when the Antichrist gonna come with the four apocalyptic horses and all that, and it's gonna be hell on earth. Earth never seen a time like this. There are demons locked away in hell since Genesis 6. When they tried to cohabitate with women, because they kept not their first estate. God is going to let them out of the cell in Revelation 12 as scorpions. And they're going to try to kill everything walking, because they ticked. Tribulation, and then, of course, the eternal state. Chapter 20 is the great white throne judgment, 21, 22, new heaven, new earth. So if you don't see these dispensations as being meaningful, You can't keep going back and forth mixing and matching stuff that does not mix and match. I'm not under the Davidic covenant. I'm not under the Mosaic covenant. I'm not even under the Abrahamic covenant. I'm under the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, where God said, I'm gonna write my laws in your heart. Are y'all getting this? All right, let me go back to my slide. So here, these preliminary courses, and I know I'm getting old because when I was in elementary school, they had A and B, remember that? 1A, 1B. 1A was from September to December, and 1B was from January to June. Then you go to the second grade. How many of y'all remember that 1A, 1B system? I think they really messed education up today. Education was great. But the fact of the matter is that these progressions are extremely important. These are doctrinal progressions that once I understand that God is sovereign and his will be done and God is in total control and Satan can't do anything to hurt me, once I understand the wisdom and will of God, then I'm ready for some serious business of walking. Do I have a witness? And you cannot learn God through a feeling. You learn God through faith. Faith demands that you and I go through something and God brings you out as a testimony that he is real. Everything is not going to be smooth in our lives. God has already put together a lesson plan that's attributed to our lives, and as we go through these changes, now here's the thing that blows me away. We watched our mothers and our grandmothers and our fathers. We watched them, and some of them went through pure, unadulterated fire. But guess what? You couldn't tamper with their faith, could you? Come on now, y'all can talk back to me. You could not tamper with their faith. They weren't staying home on Sunday at the Bedside Baptist Church. Let me preach up in here tonight. They didn't come to church for the wrong reasons. They loved the Lord. They trusted the Lord. They waited on the Lord. And even when God didn't show up, I saw this through my grandmother, even when God didn't show up, they praised him anyhow. Why? Because they had an intimate relationship with the master. Not initial, not increased, they had intimacy with the master. I got out of my car one day. I got saved about 76. I got out of the military 74. I got saved about 76, 77. And man, I was wild, I was partying, I was getting high, I was doing everything. When I got saved, I started going to Bible study and I was struggling. And I never forget, I went up my grandmother's house and she's sitting there, it's summertime, no air conditioning, just a little fan, got all the blinds closed, and sweat is running off of her and dropping. She's just wiping. And I just got out of an air conditioned car. And I went in the house and we called Nana. I said, Nana, and she sat there and I said, you know, I'm really struggling. And she just looked at me and smiled. And after I talked for about 10 minutes, I pulled my heart out to her. You know what she told me? I dare you to trust him. That was a whole theology. She didn't say turn to Romans 8, turn to Jeremiah 31. See, we can call the scriptures, but we can't call the strength. I'm preaching up in here. We know about God's substance, but we don't know about his sufficiency. You got to go through something and God bring you out before you can be a witness. The problem is, don't nobody want to go through anything. And it's hard. This life is hard. Life is short and full of trouble. It's hard. Peter said, we are kept by the power of God. I couldn't go back in the world if I wanted to. Because what God has done on the inside, he has rid me of that diet. Are y'all getting the diet? When a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, he starts eating nectar. He don't destroy trees no more. There's a whole different diet. The diet is the washing of regeneration. The diet is the fact that God is doing something on the inside where you don't even want that stuff no more. It won't satisfy. Are y'all getting this? It just won't satisfy no more. Had my suit on, going to my grandmother's house. Had my Bible under my arm, got out of the car. This is summertime. This is a true story. I don't make up these stories. Yeah. And I'm walking towards her house. You know, I'm in South Philly. I parked the car. She lives on 19th and Dickinson. I'm walking towards her house. And this girl coming down the street, nice looking girl. She said, excuse me. And I turned around. I said, yes. She said, for $5, I'll stay with you all night. Do whatever you want me to do. And I said, babe, you need to be saved. I pulled out a track. She said, oh, God. I said, you need Jesus, honey. She was a crackhead. But you couldn't tell her from her face. She was a nice little girl. I said, you need Jesus. Are y'all getting this? Now, let me back this time machine up. Say it was 15 years ago. Hi, I'd have said hi. Let's go. Because I didn't have the machinery of the Holy Spirit operating in me. I was more concerned about her soul than I was sex. This girl going to hell. Are y'all getting this? This stuff is real, man. So the whole thing is that God comes in with this air of wisdom. Learn of me. Follow my ways. Learn of me. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of God, nor standeth in the way of sinners, sinners are scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that light he doth meditate. The word meditate comes from a thought of a cow chewing cud, and as he chews cud, he spits it up and then starts chewing it all back over again. We come get the word on Sunday, we look and keep going. So this wisdom, Lord have mercy. Now look at verse 17 real quick, because verse 11, he deals with, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh, this is the bulldozer, worketh, energia, all things after the counsel of what? His own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory. And so what Paul is laying out is the preliminary course of wisdom and will. Then real quick, look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. God says, I want to teach you about me, because when things break out, you need to come to me. You need to be reassured of me. You need to know me. Not know of scripture, you need to know me. Lord have mercy. Now look at verse 18. The eyes, metaphorically, of your understanding being what? Enlightened. God says, as you grow in my word, see, that's why Jesus said in John 8, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For Paul to say, set you free, the inference is we're in bondage. If I'm not in bondage, why do I need to be set free? Are y'all getting this? And even our habits were from bondage perspectives. I take a drink, I want a cigarette. Come on now, y'all can talk back to me. I go to a party, I gotta be clean. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Huh? Stuff is tight. That our whole mindset was glued together from the perspective of a dead man. We were dead men and women walking. Now, you're not going to go out and you're not going to go to your neighborhood, to your family, and tell them they're dead. They won't believe it. They are, though. They're dead. They're dead. And so the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the what? Hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who what? Believe. Not wearing no long sheets talking about you a Hebrew. You ain't no Hebrew, you something else. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. God's going to enrich you, God's going to strengthen you, and then God's going to test what he just did. Hello. He's going to test it. He's going to test it. So when we get to chapter 2, we start the work of God. We've done the wisdom and the will. And the work of God is there to help us with our wounds. And we are wounded people, aren't we? Now, if you don't know you're wounded, please pray and ask God to reveal to you that you're wounded, because you are. We got some wounded emotions, we got wounded history, we got wounded thinking, and the Holy Spirit wants to straighten all that out so you'll have peace. You got to watch what you got to be careful what you watch on television, because you're taking in philosophies that may damage your spiritual walk. I was working down 9th and Market in the courthouse, fourth floor. Dad was down there with me. I think I worked there from 83 to 87. I got transferred from ASO, Aviation Supply Office, up in the Northeast. And I was doing communications down in 9th Street. And I had all these agencies in Pennsylvania, West Virginia. I had to travel to go interface with the agencies, the agencies and all. And everybody on that job, and there was hundreds of us up there on the fourth floor, everybody knew I was a minister. I was, we wore suits every day. We were in management. And so I'm at my desk, I had to be to work, I think 8 to 4, 8 to 4:30. I was always at my desk at 7:30, and I had my Bible on my desk, And I'll never forget, people come to work, hi Rev, how you doing, da, 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 da. I was trying to be a light for Jesus. So someone came and said, we got to go down to DC to MCI to help them work through their troubleshooting, the problems and all that, because we were telecommunication specialists. And they said, but this group is coming in here now from Washington, from other places, New York, and we got to train them on whatever. I said, okay. I didn't think about it. So this young lady came up to my desk. We worked all day, and she came up to my desk, and she said, hi, how are you? I said, I'm fine. And I wasn't married yet. Let's get that straight. And the boss asked all of us to stay 12 hours, so we didn't get off work till 7, 8 o'clock at night. And anyway, she came to my desk. She said, how you doing? She said, I'm from D.C., and I'm here on this, this unit of people to do this work. I said, okay. So she said, I'm staying at the Holiday Inn on 4th and Arch. I said, okay. And then she paused, and then she said, will you come to my hotel room? Spend the night with me, please. And I looked at her. Nobody heard this conversation. No, this is honest to God truth. I said, baby, I can't do that. And she said, why not? And I pulled out a track. I said, you need Jesus. She was good looking. I said, you need Jesus. And the next thing that came out of her mouth dropped me. She started crying. And she said, my brother is a pastor in California. And he's been trying to get me saved for years. Y'all ain't hear that. You didn't hear that. You didn't hear that. Everything Satan throws at us, Satan has stuff you don't even know about. And he's tapping into something in us. So if I feel lonely, if I feel like I need affirmation, I need somebody to hold me and hug me, whatever it is, Satan, that's a stimuli. Satan's going to put a stimuli so you can respond to it. Been doing this stuff a long time. And the minute you open that door, you're going to get more than what you bargained for. Do I have a witness? And it's not to scare you. Yes, it is. It's to scare you. Because that fish underwater, if he knew what was behind that hook, he would have never hooked the bait. He got hook, line, sinker, and frying pan. So when we think we know what, we need the wisdom of God, and Joseph, son of Jacob, didn't understand what was going on in his life. His brothers threw him in a ditch. But God had a long plan to get him to Egypt to put him up from the pit to the palace by way of prison and Potiphar's wife. Stop! You want to go to the palace, you got to go through something. You got to go through something. And God teaches us his ways. He teaches us his ways. He teaches us his ways. He teaches us his ways. We're going to get tested. We're going to fail some tests. And we're going to pass some tests. I ain't telling you all my failures, but they're there. The fact of the matter, this is how God grows us up. He gives us his wisdom. He reveals to us who he is. He reveals to us his love. He reveals to us that he's working. Amen, when he gives us his wisdom, he starts to home in on his will. You are influencers for Jesus Christ. Handle it the way you want to handle it. You can never go back, if you save, you can never go back and be happy in the world. Can't do it. I ain't seen it yet. Oh, you might go back for a little while. You coming out of that. So what the church has to be taught is that our lives are not in our hands. There are no accidents. There are appointments. Job says, my appointed time. I'll wait till my change comes. We have appointments with the master. You understand? Now, you know, I've been ticked off at God at times. Why all this? And I never hear a voice. But God continuously loves, hugs, opens up doors, whatever. We went down to the planning board on Monday night, and I mean, we were down there in great numbers. I want to thank you all. And I'm sitting there saying, 30, going on 31 years, why do I have to come out as pastor for this? Lord never answered. Then it became obvious. You are here on my behalf. So use it right. You got people here going to hell, and they listening at you, and you got all these folk behind you, but use this platform to my glory. Are y'all getting this? You use the platform to my glory. I need to get the glory out of this. They need to know that every time y'all meet on Sunday and Wednesday, it's more than just coming together. Can I get a witness? Child of God. And so the work in chapter 2. And you have he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Man, we were dead. We were dead. We were dead. A young lady, I ain't gonna call her name, young lady I grew up in South Philly. We went to junior high together. Love her, man. Used to hang with her brother. I knew her husband. He died. She was my heart, man. Loved her. I went away in the military. I came back. Anyway, her son came down to the church with his fiance one time, and I hugged him. I said, "Oh man, tell your mother to call me." And finally, she called me. And when she called me, I teared up. I teared up. I mean, this is 40-something years ago. I teared up. And I kept calling her, giving her scripture, calling her. We need to get together, come join her. To make a long story short, she called me one day and she said, "Raymond, I'm in trouble." Now, I think she had a bout with drugs or whatever. She said, "I'm in trouble." I said, "Well, baby, let me help you, because we go way back." And the embarrassment of her trouble, she got a number change. I couldn't reach her no more. So I just start praying for her. You understand? She's on my prayer list just to pray. But, you know, this thing is so deep that God has us in. We are influencers for Jesus Christ. We just are. We are influencers. The only Bible some people are going to read is you. That's the only Bible they're going to read. Let your light so shine that others may see, you know, goodness in you, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we have to understand that God's got us strategically in place where he wants us to be, excuse me, and so this work that God is doing in us, where in the time past ye walked. Now, that word walk, I'm going to get to in a minute, but this the work is to help us prepare our walk. It's to help us prepare our walk. Whew. Well, I was a mess in the world, man. I was a mess. I was a real mess. And I thank God for what he has done. Walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that is now in the children of disobedience, among also we all had our life in times past in the what? Come on now. In the what? In the lust of the flesh. You know. I not only lived wrong, I laughed at wrong things that are reprehensible to God. I laughed at them. They were funny. You know, and so God keeps reminding me, look at the work that I've done in you. But God is the conjunction, verse 4, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. The word dead in sins mean we could not help ourselves. Couldn't come out. Couldn't stop. Have quickened, made us alive with Christ. And he has raised us up together to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so the work is to deal with our wounds. That's why when you want to get married in this church, you got to go through counseling. I got Tunstall doing the booklets. I got Leroy, I got myself. We want to take you through some counseling. It's not that marriage is a bad state. We're trying to prepare you. Because some of us got dysfunction living by ourselves. Now it's two of you. Now you really got dysfunction. And we don't want you to walk away with a false premise. Can I get a witness? True life, true marriage. Oh, by the way, happy Valentine's Day. True marriage is not bliss every day. Raising your children is not bliss every day. Are y'all getting me? Going to work is not bliss every day. Life gets hard, man. Am I right? So what we're trying to do is to give a practical view of things. Listen, you got to work out what's inside of you that's going to damage this marriage. And if it takes counseling, get counseling, because you got some wounds, you got some history, you got some secret stuff that's going to explode this relationship. And when I'm talking like this, I'm talking from the exposition of the word, but I'm talking from experience too. You know, the fact of the matter is, no two people coming together and it's love at first sight. That ain't happening, Doc. You've been watching television too long. That ain't happening. It's going to get tough. You're going to have your tough moments. And if you have a praying life and you are living by faith and you are trusting Jesus and whatnot, and you know, you got children, you got grandchildren, they're not always going to do what you want done. And you gotta navigate through that. We gotta navigate through getting sick, gotta navigate through health, gotta navigate through medicine, gotta navigate. And if you don't have Jesus as your anchor, you are in trouble.
Amen.
Do I have a witness?
Amen.
At the end of the day, you gotta walk away and say, the Lord's got me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my high tower. So it's a progression of growth. And the work in chapter 2 prepares us for the walk in chapter 4. Oh, Lord. And the warmth in chapter 5. What's in chapter 5? Relationships. Relationships. This stuff is laid out in such form. The reason I didn't go in chapter 3, because in chapter 3, what Jesus does is that he brings an end to all of these different things, law, grace, Gentile, Jew. Everything's in Christ now. The wholeness of faith is in Christ. So as we try to walk according to the vocation wherewith we've been called, we need to take this one slow, Doc. What we've been called. You know, in the world, I was a nice guy. You got on my nerves, and I'll cuss you out. I ain't fool with you. All right, no. You say what? What'd you say? Excuse me. Were you talking to me? Crazy. Crazy as a baby bug. I mean, it's crazy. So it's a progressive sanctification. As we bring this thing in, God has to identify our wounds. Let's talk about wounds. I don't feel loved. You not feeling loved don't mean you're not loved. Somebody could be loving you to death and you ain't feeling it. I ain't feeling it. That ain't their problem. Something wrong with your mechanism. I feel lonely. You got 6 kids and a husband. 7 kids and a wife. You're talking about, I feel lonely. You got problems. Are y'all getting this? I don't feel appreciated. I want a more fun life. I want a better, you know, and so pastor is constantly trying to feed in and you know, let you know. Here, as we close, here's what I want to say. Sister Gordon is not responsible for my happiness.
Amen.
Sister Gordon is not responsible for me being happy, feeling happy. Are y'all getting that? When I'm not happy, she's the reason I'm not happy. But Sister Gordon is not responsible for me feeling unhappy or unfulfilled. The minute you put that on somebody else, it is indicative that's a problem in you. Why? As we close, because if I have the wisdom, the will, and the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside, all I need is Jesus. And he's going to heal my sin-sick soul. Are y'all getting this? He is my balm in Gilead. So we're going to be going through these progressions, and hopefully we're going to really dissect this word walk. When I tell you what walk means in the Greek, it's going to blow you away. It comes from the word periscope, to look around and live according to the righteousness of God. of Jesus Christ. So you may have to get on your knees and say, Lord, give me a love for, give me a deeper love for my children, my wife, my husband. Lord, give me a deeper love to spend time with you in your word. Lord, give me a deeper love not to keep making excuses and running, but to be still and know that you're God. Lord, give me a contentment when everything is going topsy-turvy. This is a progression. So we began with wisdom, will, word, logos, rhema. I didn't get to that yet. Wounds, work. By the time we get to walk and warmth, chapter 4 is the walk, chapter 5 is the warmth. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husband. Children, obey your parents. When we get to the warmth, and you've taken all these W's, and God has exposed your wounds, only then can you walk away from warfare. Because in your warfare, Satan is going to tap into one of these other W's. Are y'all getting this? I was driving one years ago, I was driving my car, and I heard Satan. He said, are you happy? I thought I was gonna cuss him out. Are you really happy? So now he's bringing this happiness into my mind. I'm pastoring, I got 3 kids, picking them up from school, fixing dinner, and doing homework, and you know, battling here, battling there. Are you happy? Are you kidding me? Who would be happy with all this stuff going on? You know, but I learned the minute you start talking back, he got you. Oh, you heard that? So hear this. Yeah. Let's stay on our feet tonight. Praise Jesus. Get the Lord a hand clap. Come on now. If you're here tonight, you want to be saved. Just raise your hand, or you want to join the church. Raise your hand. We'd love to have you. Let's look to the Lord, Father. As we go back to the rudiments of our faith, as we look at your wisdom, your will, your word, your work, your worth, and our wounds, Lord God, minister to us. Help us to see you as you see us, and give us the victory of peace that you are too wise to make a mistake. You did not bring us this far to leave us. Bless our homes, bless our families. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you.